Oh, thanks for the show. GM is muted.
Fuck's sake. I should have checked this shit before we started.
And do you know what? That was the best thing that's ever happened on this show.
Well, oh, that was
Shane,
I can't,
it.
Oh,
can't believe you said that, Luke. That's so out of order.
Oh, we were too busy trying to sort out James's sounds.
Not only was it poignant, it was also brutal and honest.
Okay. I'll start again then, shall I? My name's Luke. Hey, you're through to the D&D show. Dice and Die show. Dice never die. My name's Luke. Lukey baby, I'm your friend, your GM, your best friend, your host, your mother's best shag. Hello, everybody. I'm not feeling very well today, and like these guys pretty much dragged me out of bed to play. I'm here.
Off the toilet.
I do apologise. It's going to be an interesting intro. No, yeah. To be fair, I was just having a fag before we started. I was like, oh, no.
The old nicotine.
I'm all right.
Nicotine poop. Yeah, let's... That always got me, cigarette, and then, oh, dear, off the run.
Oh, it's nervous more than anything. So who are we? We're a D&D show. We play Dungeons & Dragons, mostly, but we talk shit occasionally. Well, occasionally. We talk more shit than we do anything else. I mean, last episode, we literally just rambled for hours. But, yeah, we play D&D. We're a podcast. Someone help me out. Sean. Hello, Sean. Pock.
Hello. How are you? Yeah, you're good.
Good. Lisa Horton, Millicent the Bard, you all right?
Hello, yes, I am good.
Good.
Ready to rock and roll.
Gavin Bourne.
Hey, you all right?
Burr or something like that. And
that's me.
James Bly, Playscapes, evening.
Hello.
I think it was the episode that we dropped yesterday. And I was listening to that, and at the beginning, I introduced James last, and he was like, I don't think I've ever come last before. So,
I came twice last now. I came twice and I came last.
Makes a change you coming last, doesn't it?
I came first and last. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am under the weather. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think it's my. It's my CFS, my ME. I think it's just playing up today and a bit of a dodgy gut this morning. And then this evening, I've had a bit of migraine. And I was just like on the couch earlier on, cuddling my boy before bedtime, watching some Scrubs on Channel 4. And I was like, I really want to go to bed. And then these guys, we'll just have a short one. We'll just go have a short one. And I was like, all right. But we said that last week. We were like, we'll finish by 10:30. And then we went on to 10:30. So we'll see how we get.
It's hard, man.
I got work tomorrow, just so you know, all right.
So have I.
And I've just seen the news. Eddie Van Halen's dead, apparently.
Oh.
What?
Oh, no.
65 years old.
Wow. Dead.
That's young.
I know he had trouble with cancer and stuff for a long time, so I don't know if it's anything to do with that, but throat cancer, dead of throat cancer, 65.
Mm.
Well, that's harsh.
Toast.
Don't smoke.
Let's toast to Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen.
I'm drinking the last of my birthday rum with some grape soda. Yeah. Mm.
Cheers.
It's a Van Halen.
Keep on rocking, sir. Keep on rocking.
Well, so, he's not going to do that, is he? But yeah.
Well,
no.
Who knows? Today, apparently, ladies and gentlemen, is the 30th of November. If everything goes to plan and to schedule, this is episode 30. Episode 30.
That's mad, isn't it?
That's mad. Wow.
I can't believe I've edited 30 of the things.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've edited. Yeah, it'd be more than that.
It is more than that. I think we started going to. We were doing two part episodes up until like episode 15 or something. So actually, you've done like more than that.
Yeah. And shout out to the editor there.
Yeah, absolutely. He does cracking job. If anybody wants to
set you up for that,
you know what? I discovered this little neat little thing a little while ago on our podcast host, Red Circle. You can put bank details in there, and then like people can actually, if they want to, give us money. So if you want to give us some money, have a look at the podcast description in your app, and there'll be a little link saying support this podcast. Like,
you got 20p, mate.
Do it. Yeah. Do it. Anything.
I need to get 50p to make a phone call. So just put it in the account. That'd be great.
I'm stranded. I need to get to London.
Yeah.
How?
My mum's in the hospital.
Ryan Alboa says, I don't think you've edited any of them. Harsh. Sean does an amazing job editing the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely amazing job. If you only ever watch the Twitch stream or the YouTube videos, check out the podcast because they are so much better. You get music, you get sound effects, you get... It cuts out all this rambling nonsense that I do.
Copyright infringement.
He actually takes all of this crap that I come out with and actually puts it into some kind of coherent story somehow.
And what I plan to do is cut all the bits I've cut of you going, ah, fucking hell, I don't know. Put them into like a 10-minute.
Like, that'd be our advert. Like, that'd be the advert that you still haven't done for the podcast.
Something. Shit. I'll get around to that. Did I not? Oh, I thought I did it.
No, you said to me the other day, oh, yeah, I'm just bouncing the latest episodes and I'm going to do an advert. And I was like, yeah, of course you will.
I watched, I think I watched Netflix.
Yes. That's fine. I don't blame you. I've really struggled finding enthusiasm for this recently. I've got to be honest.
Don't say that.
Yeah, I'm just getting a bit of DM burnout. I
feel like you've just said that you want to see other people.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, I still enjoy it. Of course, I love the game. I love you guys. Yes.
Do you want to play, Luke? Is that what it is?
A little bit. Yeah, I definitely want to play. Well, it's just, I'm getting to the point where I get so much anxiety, you know what I do, over all of this, actually, like, it's really starting to just stress me out, and I'm like, oh, I just need a break. Like, I need a holiday. But, of course, I just had 2 weeks off a little while ago, so, but, yeah. Right,
no more side quests. Just put us in the fucking cave. Let's get it done.
Yeah. That would do it.
No more Agatha. No Agatha.
Nah. I think it's quite a common thing that I read about on forums, Facebook groups, Twitter and stuff, is DM burnout.
Oh, yeah.
A long
ago
campaign.
Like, yeah. And I'm not used to playing this much either. Like, as much as I fucking love this guy, I literally live, breathe, eat, sleep D&D. Like, I spend most of my day skiving off of work on Twitter doing D&D shit. Like, and I used to, but like a month ago, I used to just do loads of planning and stuff, believe it or not. But recently, I'm just...
This is still fast becoming the longest game I've ever been involved in.
Oh, this is 100% the longest game I've ever been
with the same characters. Like, I've been involved in games where it's the same players, but we switch out, we do different, you know, different settings, different games. Like, see why this would burn out eventually, you know.
Well, let's get to the end of this. Let's get to the end of this.
Ironically, though, like, don't take this personally, or anything. Like, this is absolutely not a representative of the game. I've had so much fun. I mean, I'm listening to this podcast back every week. I'm laughing my ass off. It is so much fun, and I had a cracking time last week. It's just, I wish that I could just do this without actually having...
To be honest, it's a shame, because it's like, we do gain a lot, but it is kind of at your expense. So thank you, and sorry.
GM always takes the heaviest load, really, don't they?
Yes and no. I mean, I've lucked out, because I'm playing... obviously, we're playing a pre-written module, Lost Mine of Foundelver, if for anybody new listeners out there. So it's quite easy. I don't have to do too much, but I have gone off book and added stuff, which, to be fair, I've put a rod in my own back, really, doing that.
Well, you've been awesome GM,
I've got no other experience with GMs, but I'm sure you're great.
Oh, mate, there's so many better ones.
You broke his GM virginity. Like, I'll tell you, you'll always be special to him.
If you want a good DM or GM, go and listen to the Glass Fucking Cannon, Sean.
Yes, no, don't. Do. Because I've got lots of Critical Role to catch up
on. Fuck Critical Role, man! It's like watching the
James has no idea what.
I have no idea what anyone is. But I just like, no, you shouldn't say it. It sounded wrong.
It's like Critical Role is like the Days of Our Lives of D&D. It's like that really popular show. No. Everyone fucking watches it. It's massive. It. You know what? But like,
I fucking love Days of Our Lives.
I probably do, didn't you? I bet you vote Tories as well, you wanker.
Does anyone remember Cheers? Cheers.
I'm gonna now.
Cheers.
Cheers was great.
Critical Role is kind of like I was going to say, like, the Friends of sitcoms, you know.
I knew you were going to say
Friends. Massively popular. Everyone loves it, and don't get me wrong, I love Friends. But you know what? There's better sitcoms out there. Scrubs. Yeah. Scrubs is probably my all-time favourite TV show. You know, How I Met Your Mother was fantastic up until
I really enjoyed
season.
That. You know, I didn't like the end of that. I was really disappointed.
Well, How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Cop-out.
Total cop-out. Absolute cop-out.
Yeah. Oh, well. You've never seen How I Met Your Mother? Ah, mate,
no, what... no, the final last episode.
Oh, I stopped watching it because I'm going to hold my hands up and say that I'm an influencer, right? Because out of everybody that I knew at the time when it was new, nobody fucking watched it, and they were, yeah. I think before Channel 4 picked it up, they were like 3 or 4 seasons in, and then Channel 4 picked it up, and it went mental over here in the UK. And it was brilliant, absolutely fucking amazing show. Yeah, and then I think they realised that they got really big and they started to care more about dragging it out and making money. And
yeah.
It got a bit plastic towards the end, like just cheap laughs. I think that Barney should have ended up with Kobe Smulders' character, Robin. They should have ended up together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And... either they should have ended it with him meeting the mother, but that montage that they did with, and then her dying.
Yeah,
and then
her dying. They didn't get you.
Oh, fucking spoilers.
Yeah, okay. So basically the last episode.
I just told you I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, well, tough. Yeah. So the last episode.
You should have watched it 10 years ago. You
should have watched it, yeah. The last episode is a massive montage. He meets the mum. Oh, we get married, have kids, fantastic life. She dies of cancer. And then it ends with him talking to his kids on the couch. Saying, right. Oh, and they're like, this isn't the story of how you met mum. This is how you're justifying to us that you want to go and ask Auntie Robin out because you're in love with her. And it's like, actually, by doing that, it disregards the story of how I met your mother. And it disregards that's the dead mum's memory, because actually what it says is the entire fucking time he's just been in love with Robin. And it was like, that's bullshit.
That's whack.
Natural one, right. Man.
Yeah.
Have you seen Palm Springs, movie that came out recently with Andy Samberg?
Are you gonna tell me the end?
I haven't. She's in it though. The mum's in it though, isn't she?
Yeah, the mum's in it. Yeah, it's really good. Andy Samberg and the mum from How You Met Your Mother, and it's basically a modern.
She was in Black Mirror as well, wasn't she? The Star
Trek. She may have been. I never watched
those.
Again, great episode. Got bored of Black Mirror once Netflix picked it up. But the first couple of seasons when it was back on Channel 4 were all right, and then I got bored of it.
It's still the best of what it is, even if it isn't as good as when it first came out.
Yeah.
It's still the best of what it does.
Tales of the Unexpected of our time.
It's great. Absolutely. It's absolutely brilliant. It's like Philip K. Dick if he was around.
Psych Unsent, wash your dirty mouth. Firefly is one of the greatest pieces of TV ever fucking made.
It is.
And it is an absolute fucking tragedy that it got cancelled. And the movie, brilliant, but did not do that TV show fucking justice.
No.
I get the impression that our listeners watchers don't stream. Want us to play.
Get off my Twitch stream.
I've heard that it's really good, though. Like, a lot of, even, like, really big sci-fi people really like
jokes.
I love Firefly.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's really good. It's Buffy in space.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like Buffy either,
you probably won't like it.
My cynic valve is pretty intense.
Yeah,
it requires you to dispel the cynicism for a little bit. So
yeah, I'm not good at that.
Maybe not. Yeah,
but which is really weird because also I like loads of fantasy books, which is like completely like like fairy tales.
Yeah, but there's a difference, isn't there? I think people like what they like. I don't really want to hold an opinion on other people's likes, Luke. Thanks.
No, let's do it. Let's put their backs against the wall and fucking fuck them, mate. If you don't like June, you're wrong. All right.
Everybody likes June, right?
Yeah.
Oh, surprised. I think we talked about June last week. I've never seen it. Yeah, I've never seen it. So.
I'm surprised I like this, to be fair, because I don't watch or like anything that is based around like
fantasy
or anything like that. And I fucking love this.
I think I've always loved this.
I don't really understand why.
I think I've always loved the fantasy element. I mean, I remember one of the first films I ever saw when I was a kid was Beastmaster.
I remember that.
I don't know that.
Cheesy film. But I absolutely loved it. It was like,
Sean, if you've seen Community, he dresses up as Beastmaster in it, Pierce.
Yes, he does.
He does.
In the Halloween.
Yeah. Just thought I'd give you a reference that you understood.
I mean, for me...
in the office.
I
Willow was a big one for me.
Willow.
Because I was about 7 when that came out. When Willow was out,
Conan, Red Sonja, there was
Hulk the Slayer.
There was a dragon something.
Dragonheart.
Not Dragonheart, though. I do love that film. Shit. I saw that in the cinema. Oh, fuck off. It was a brilliant film. Dennis Quaid, yeah, and a really early role for Reese Iffens. Really early role, yeah.
Was it Reese Iffens?
I think so. I'm sure it is, yeah.
What, as the bad guy?
Yeah, as the prince.
No, I think it was David Fulis. I might be wrong.
Is it not the guy that plays Professor Lupus?
Yeah.
Don't worry, Gav, because if you got it wrong, you can just do your corrections next week.
Yeah,
of course. I'll take it back.
I might have just got the name.
I said.
Yeah, I think I got the name wrong. Yeah, it's the guy that plays Professor Lupus in thingy. I always get them too. So Reese Iffens is the one in Amazing Spider-Man that plays the lizard.
Perigo.
Is that him? Is that Reese Iffens?
It's the Welsh fella who was in Twin Town. Kevin and Perry.
Oh, I'm getting fucking IMDb out now. Who the fuck's...
no, let's play D&D.
I don't want to play D&D.
He was in Love, Honor and Obey.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great film. That's a great film.
Oh, was he in Notting Hill?
You kind of remind me a little bit of... What's his name? Ray Winston. So
it's,
what, Gav?
Yeah, don't you think?
David,
maybe just an accent.
I don't know, but he's got the same sort of face.
Oh, cheers.
As well. So, yeah. Except younger, obviously. You know what I mean? The geezer's a little old.
The scummy years,
yeah, that's it.
ID.
What a great film. Oh my God. It's so silly, but also very poignant.
Speaking of Dragonheart, there is a new film that's come out. So Linda Lusardi's son is in it.
Okay.
And the dragon is the voice of Helen Bonham Carter.
Oh, I fucking hate Helen Bonham Carter. Johnny Depp.
Oh, and they would kill you.
Oh, my God. Like, just fuck off.
Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah.
The director, dude, I can never remember his name. He's really famous. Tim Burton. Oh, my God. Somebody stop giving that man work. He's just a one-trick wonder.
He directed the best Batman films.
That's all he does. He just does the same film over and over again. He makes the same film. Just stop.
Good film, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. I hated Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah, I fucking said it. I fucking hate Nightmare Before Christmas.
Dude, I hope you don't ever expect Emily to play with us ever again.
I saw that in the cinema.
Beetlejuice was amazing. And the first two Batmans were pretty good. And then he lost it.
Yeah.
After that, he lost it.
Anyway.
Yeah, again, he's another type that Luke's going to have against the wall when the revolution comes. With the Tories. The Tories and Tim Burton, fucking wankers.
He used to experiment. That's been those early films were different.
And so did the Tories.
They gave him a load of money and said, do what you like, and then they do what they like.
I don't think they did that. I think they gave him a lot of money and said, do that again.
And he went, I'll use Johnny Depp and Helen Bonham Carter in every film I do from now on.
Yeah.
That is the thing.
And Johnny Depp's a terrible actor. He is awful. He used to be a joke. He used to be like B-list and he was like, oh yeah, cool. You know, he's a bit of a cult actor, B-list, but he's a bad actor. And then now, he's just piss off. Sorry, Johnny, you're not guesting on this show.
Do you know what? I don't think any of us have a right to say that, really, because he gets a lot of money for not being a good actor.
Yeah, but you know what? Right? you've heard my voice acting skills. Yeah, I could be.
That's true.
I could be out there.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
I agree.
Hey.
Yeah, your droop is fucking impeccable, mate. Yeah,
imagine Johnny Depp doing droop. Jeez.
Yeah, he'd fuck it up.
He'll basically
be Jack Sparrow, yeah.
What was his Willy Wonka about?
That was all
Jack Sparrow.
I thought he was going for Michael Jackson when he was that.
So, last time on the D&D show, not a whole lot really happened. We picked up...
we started so many episodes like that.
To be fair, yeah. But so basically, you lost Carp. You got ambushed by some orcs. Carp was kidnapped. Droop was kidnapped. You hunted him down across country. Boom. You found Wyvern Tor, where the orcs' base are. And you managed to find a secret way in to their little base in a cave in the hillside through a chimney. And you managed to scale down there. You find Droop and you find Scape. You find Carp. And you find Dodd, the guard, Dodd, from the caravan as well. And you talk for a little while about what you're going to do. Throughout the talking, Pock basically says, fuck this. This is a child. And we can't leave him here. And we, you know, we can't take the risk of trying to fight all these orcs and getting killed and then him still being stuck here. So I'm taking him out. I'm taking him. I'm going. He picks up the little boy carp, Orderleaf, and fucks off. No one notices, including myself. I didn't even notice that he'd said this and done it. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, I've left. So you have a little bit of a talk, you know, talk about it. And Millicent raises a very valid point. These orcs are planning on invading Phandalin and they're going to slaughter hundreds of people. We have to put a stop to this now. Pock's like, but this is a child. We can't leave him. We can't do this. I'm taking him. So you split the party. You agree that Pock will wait for you for, presumably, not forever, for a day or two, a couple of miles away where you first found, when you first spotted the chimney and the smoke plume, you were on kind of, you were hiking around the side of the mountains to the south of where you are. And you, he said, I'll go and wait for you there. That was a safe space. I'll wait there for a day or two. You do what you got to do. If you don't come back, I'm going to take Carp home. So Millicent and Burr and Scapes and Dodd and Droop head back down into the Wyvern Tor Hawk encampment. You have a bit of search around, and you go west past the prison where you found the cells, where you found the captured people. You burst through a set of double doors and you find this massive chasm. Massive room with a huge, as I just said the word several times, chasm down the middle and a rope bridge going across from one side to the other. And guarding the door that you just burst through was two orcs. You manage to take one out very, very quickly and efficiently, and the other one goes, fuck, and tries to run across this small rope bridge. Whilst he's travelling, you have the great idea, trying to travel across, you have the great idea of just cutting the ropes. He falls down, clinging on for dear life. Millicent, tang, shoots off a crossbow bolt, kills him. He falls to his death. Brilliant. Two orcs down. You go back the way you came and you take a different corridor this time. You go north into the cave and you come across a massive room. Not much in there, a bit of debris, boxes and things like that. You don't search any of them. You just keep on going, where you find a corridor that goes left towards the west or right towards the east and a door. You go to the door and you hear the sound of some orcs talking inside. Again, boom, burst through the door, surprise round, just fucking fuck everybody up. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much where we ended the last two episodes. That was two episodes in a nutshell right there.
You have impeccable memory, man.
Yeah, surprising. Yeah. Surprising. So we are going to pick up pretty much from where you left off. You guys have just finished off the last orc inside that room. You're also standing. I don't even think any of you particularly took any damage at all. They
says here I'm on 14 health, so
yeah, I'm on 23.
Yeah, so you got hit a couple of times, but you're at full strength. You've got all your healing, you've got all your spells, you're doing well. So we're going to go and check in on Pock, just because he sat out the last episode, really. So what we're going to do is just going to go back in time, maybe half an hour, to when you left Pock, and Pock had just said, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going. What's your plan, Pock?
Me? Okay. I think I want to... How long was... Like, how long a journey is it to where I need to... Well, where I said I was going to meet them?
Oh, I'll have to look at
the map. It's a few miles.
Yeah, it's probably going to take you a couple of hours to get back to where you were. Let me bring up a map.
By the way, I've just healed myself for 10 points, which is the last of my lay on hands.
Okay. Yeah, so basically, you're going to kind of here. So it's about 5 to 10 miles over here where you first were. Which would take you, you've got a hike, it's rough terrain, climbing over rocks, boulders, moving through bushes, avoiding trees, going downhill when you have to zigzag a bit to kind of find a safe route. So 5 miles would take you about an hour to walk there, and if you were on a level plane, but given the conditions, probably going to take you more like 2 hours to get back up there.
I think Yeah, basically, like, super stealthy, sneaky, sticking to the... Yeah, I just want to kind of get there as quietly as possible, keeping off the beaten track a little bit, following a path if there is one, or following the way that I know where we went.
Mm-hmm. Basically, he wants to be safe.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, I want to get there safely.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. So again, if you're going carefully and slowly, and you've got Karp with you as well, who is a small child. I mean, he's halfling. He's about 12, 13 years old, so he's little. And he's tired. He hasn't eaten in a day or so, and he's been a bit beaten. So you're going to be moving quite slowly.
Yeah.
He'll be like, you know, as you leave the others, he'll be like, but why did they go back in? Well, why didn't they come with us?
Smell.
they hate you, Cup. You're
is this like a Robin Hobb novel? They hate you. They all hate you.
Look, I understand that they you see, the orcs we discovered do have a plan to raid Phandalin, as your people knew, from what I remember. I think that's how we found out that you told us.
No, not at all. They attacked us in the night, and it was on the dead bodies that they found sketched out lay of the land map. So I didn't know that at all because I'd already been kidnapped by them. Sorry.
So I think, and I agree that they thought it was best to finish these orcs off and stop your home being invaded. And bearing in mind your mother's there and your family. So it's just that I couldn't leave you, you know. I've saved a lot of people in my past when Thunder Tree went tits up. You know, I have a lot of time for the future of whatever area this is and the world that we are living in. I can't remember.
The year 1480. DR, that's Dale's Reckoning.
I know, you're a smart one, and see, that's why I thought it was, I just couldn't leave you there. I've had to leave people behind, and it didn't sit well with me, and I no longer want to do that.
But you left your friends
behind. Left us. Yeah, exactly that.
Yes, but, you know,
sick,
they're not...
Burn-up.
Do you know what, Carp?
Oh, I think, from the mouth of
I take out my dagger. And, well, you know, they're grown up, so they know what they're doing. They were doing well way before I met them. Apparently, I never listened to the early episodes of the podcast, but
no,
they
we
were doing
even
all
done
right.
A prequel yet? We don't know.
There's no prequel. Well, I've heard, you know, they're more than capable. That I only seem to be getting in the way lately, and we'll meet again, and it's fine, and it's just something I have to do. I hope you understand, and
of course,
well, you better understand. I'm saving your fucking life. You
know? I think you shouldn't be so hard on yourself, Mr. Pock.
Thank you,
you saved Phandalin, and you saved me. They took me, and I was so scared. You came for me.
I'm sorry for letting them take you. We wouldn't be here if I hadn't.
Well, I think that was Millicent's fault, to be honest. She was the one near me at the time who was...
Correct.
said that she no was so
fucking slander.
All right. So you guys basically talk quietly. You walk a long time in silence, really, because, you know, it's dangerous territory. You're in the enemies. Go on.
There was a thing I wanted to talk to Carp about. Okay. If you're coming back to us, I'll do it later. But
well, go for it while you're walking. It's a nice bit of RP.
So,
is your mum single?
Look,
I was so going to say that. Like, you got it before me.
Is he the one with the sister that Bird tried it on with?
No. So it was his mum was the halfling who was basically sleeping with Redoff.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd rescued some Druid people in the Red Brand hideout who, Bear was trying it on with, like, the 18-year-old daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
go on, Bear.
I can't remember her name.
I take out a scroll. It was Nan, again with an N.
Oh,
Nandil,
I'll,
Nandar,
whatever.
If Burr remembered every Nil, bird Nilda, he fell in love
with. Exactly.
Yeah, something like
Nilda. N-I-L. Yeah, Nilda.
Nilda. Nilda, that was it. I'm going to take out a scroll and I'm going to say, look, Cup, that you seem a very intelligent young man and I hope that you would do well. And back in Thundertree, I worked with a professor. Professor Richard O'Brien.
It was Nilsa. Sure. It was a good effort. Nilsa.
Nilsa, there you go. Bored fella. Wore leopard print a lot. And we had a bet. We bet each other 50 gold pieces. And we exchanged.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. We exchanged riddles. I gave him my riddle and he answered it immediately. He gave me his, and I've never been able to answer.
I don't like where this is going.
It's a euphemism.
So I hand him the parchment, and I say, "Carp, take this with you, and if you ever find the answer to it, find me or Professor Richard O'Brien and give him the answer. You're a much, much better man than I am." And it reads... I'm hoping this lands because I haven't got a fucking clue what it means. And the riddle is: voiceless it cries, wingless flutters, toothless bites, mouthless mutters. Apparently that's from The Hobbit. And then so I'm like, look, I've never been able to solve it, and if you ever do, then you're a better man than I am.
Well, say it again.
Just give him that. Voiceless it cries, yeah. Wingless flutters, toothless bites, mouthless mutters.
You know how many times I've read The Hobbit in my life?
Oh, really? I literally Googled it before the stream. It come up, riddles. So this is from The Hobbit, twice. Apparently.
It's not like one of the swords or something.
I've probably read... Remember. It's about the only book I've read more than...
Yeah, isn't it meant to be Sting or something like that?
No.
To be honest, I can't remember the fucking answer.
One more time?
voiceless it cries, wingless flutters, toothless bites, mouthless mutters.
Yeah, it's the fucking Tories, isn't it? Yeah, wankers.
Well, basically, on my character sheet, when I first played it, there, you know, when you're the personality traits and the ideals and all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
On my bonds, I've been searching my whole life for the answer to a certain question. Oh. And I've been wanting to get that in from fucking day one. It's just never come up, so I can get rid of it. Done.
I'm actually Googling the answer because that's driving me crazy.
I think I remember reading the answer to it. It was a very quick Google before stream.
You know what? I was along the right line.
Right.
It's from, you know,
I think, what is it from The Hobbit?
It is, yeah.
Or something like that. I thought someone might have read it along. So. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That was wanky RP for you, everyone.
Lovely. Okay. You carry on walking, and after about 20 or 30 minutes, off in the distance, the way that you came, you hear a...
A train.
And we're going to cut back to the other group. Because there's fucking lot I can do with you, to be honest. You're walking the wilderness on your own.
Yes. So, hearing things.
Here we go. Right then.
What do I know? No, oh, okay.
What's that, mate?
I mean, it sounded like a horn cry sort of thing. Yeah, like an alert.
Yeah. That would be like an orc horn.
But you guys didn't hear nothing. Don't metagame.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was only answering Sean's question. Sorry.
That was me being...
It was loud enough for Sean to hear.
You've just defeated all these orcs. Barrels, crates and sacks line the walls of this chamber. And among the loot, four oversized straw pallets and other simple furnishings show that it now serves as a bunk room. Four bestial humans with feral eyes are not cleaning their weapons and mending their gear, as it says. They are lying dead on the floor. They do not spring to their feet and roar a challenge, as the description says, because they're lying dead on the floor. I don't know who gave the last killing blow, but probably Burr. What do you do? You're in this room. You decided that you were going to clear out all of these orcs and save Phandalin. Fuck your friend, Pock. You're staying in here.
You're gonna... ex-friend.
You're going to save the world. X-Men.
Who cares about children? Oh, my God.
Stinky nose.
Yeah.
A room surrounded by boxes and stuff, and you've got these orcs, and they were sharpening weapons and stuff like that. There's weapons in it. There's boxes. There's crates. There's... Who knows?
Can I have a look around and see if there's any loot? Any gold? Any?
What would you like to search through?
I'll pop a couple of crates if that's all right.
Yeah. So in the crates, the supplies stockpiled here are the same as those in areas 5 and 8. But you didn't look at the stuff stockpiled in areas 5 and 8. So. It's basically goods and staples, which you can only imagine have probably been pillaged from nearby settlements. So the original advert for the job back in Phantaline on the townmaster's door in the hall was that they had been raiding local merchants, travellers.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, is there a stapler there to go with the staples?
Food and staples, oh my God.
Is it a plus one stapler?
You reckon... shut up. I'm not even listening to you. I'm ill.
Please let's have a plus one stapler, man.
I mean, a stapler doesn't have to be a plus one. It's a modern technological item. It would be a wondrous, legendary item in here.
I'm putting that in my one shot.
No one would understand what it is. Yeah.
In a magical jelly.
The magical stapler.
You would revolutionise like filing and accounting in the entire of the Forgotten Realms.
Don't need the Dragon's Den. Dungeons and Dragons Den. There we go.
There's like a file of facts under the bed. Yeah, brilliant.
So, let's have a look.
So, who got the stapler in the end, anyway?
Mundane supplies looted from the countryside.
I've got the staples.
Things like flour, grain, nails, and so on. The total value of everything in here, you reckon, is about 20 gold pieces. It's not a lot, but it's just basic supplies.
Right.
And there's a lot of it, like 500 pounds of material.
Too much to carry.
Yeah. I do believe Pot gave you the bag of holding, but even then, it's more than the bag of holding can hold. And for 20 gold pieces, not
really. I'm only looking for stuff that's valuable to me personally. So. Yeah.
If you were to search the orcs, one thing you do find if you're searching around, roll me a perception then.
All of us.
Well, if anybody's looking, then roll perception, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll
probably natural look. 20.
That would do. Hey.
Four.
Hey. Hey.
So, like, Scapes is basically searching through stuff and he opens a bag of flour and it just puffs up in his face and he's just too busy. He's like fluttering in the corner.
There's staplers in his eyelids and fucking everything.
Yeah. Whereas Fur and Millicent both basically spot this thing, but Millicent gets over there first. You find old iron cauldron under vermin-infested bedding. Inside, you find a small pouch of 210 gold pieces.
Whoa.
In another bed, when you're searching that one, Millicent, and Burr goes, oh, wow, I'm going to search under this bed then. You find another pouch containing a topaz worth 200 gold pieces and two onyx stones worth 50 gold pieces each.
Wait, we're still sharing, right?
You fucked off, mate.
Can you hear that? I just an annoying buzz in my ear.
So it was two.
Oh, why's Puck the bad guy?
Two onyx.
Oh, what do you mean? What?
He's saving lives.
Yeah,
needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. You chose to rescue one small halfling boy. These guys are putting their life on the line to save.
Don't listen to the GM. He keeps flip-flopping whose side he's on every 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, you're all right, Pop. We still love you. Don't worry, man.
So did you want me to put that gold pieces in the
basically,
kit?
Yeah,
put it in the group.
You've basically found 510 gold pieces. Fuck the gems. 510 gold pieces.
Well, that's good. That's like 103 each, guys.
Let's not tell Pog about
5, 10. So
don't forget Droop Share.
Hey, guys. Oh, that's a shiny gem. Right. Oh, is that one for me?
No, 100 each then.
We'll cash it out.
It's 510.
There is five of you, actually, because you got Dodd as well. So Pox fucked off. So there's Scapes, Millicent, Burr, Dodd, and Droop. That's five of you. Yeah. You found 500 gold pieces, 100 each.
Jesus. We got loads.
Yeah, well,
cash.
Pox getting Dodd's lot because Dodd ain't surviving, is he? Let's face it. He's like that poor cunt on the away crew.
As soon as Dodd's dead, then Zog's dead, then take his money.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get up to that door and have a peek, see if anything's coming from the other way.
No, nothing's coming from the other way. You were really quick and efficient, and I didn't even get a real chance to shout out or scream anything from what I remember of last week's combat. You just kind of, boom. I think it was only like a two-round combat. You just fucked him up.
I'll turn to the rest of my party. What do we reckon, guys? Are we going to continue to try and go room by room in this place?
Well, bashing down doors has worked so far.
Yeah, let's go and bash some more doors down.
I think even if we can reduce the amount of orcs in their number, then we're still putting Phandalin in a better position.
Absolutely.
The minute it feels a bit spicy, or you're getting a bit,
yeah.
You go first, Burr, as usual.
Okie doke.
I gotta just make these plans and then go like, push Burr out the door. Yeah. Like,
off you go, Burr. Human shield.
Human shield. Yeah.
So you go back out of that room, you head west, and you've got the big, there's like a cave system down to the south filled with that boxes and debris and stuff like that, which you kind of ignored last time. You haven't been down there to see what's down there yet. And you're going to head back up the corridor to the west. As you travel up, you will see a corridor. You see the ends of the corridor, and it bends to the right. Stay where you are while I'm describing, please. So you reach the dead end, corridor turns to your right. There's a set of doors, but just before that, to your left, there are some steps going up to another set of doors. So you have doors on your left, up some steps. You have some doors kind of to the right.
Here I am.
Let me just see if there is a description for this area. At the end of the passage stands a... So as you go around that corner, if you wanted to have a look there, it's fine, you can do. At the end of the passage stands a statue of a fierce-looking dwarf in heavy mail armour. The stone warrior holds a sword in one hand and a smith's hammer in the other. The statue is about 7 feet tall and stands on a large stone pedestal. So that's there. It's kind of like an L shape. Or like I said, you've got a set of double doors going up the steps just behind where you were, or you've got a door to the west next to that statue.
Should we have a look at this statue?
Well, as Bert, as a dwarf, do you recognise
why not?
The...
Don't know. Do I recognise it, Luke? Do I...
No, roll, save yourself a roll, mate. It's just, it's a random...
It's a dwarf. 7 foot dwarf.
Well, I mean, it's a statue, you know, like when you go into Leicester Square and you see those statues of like, you know, people, they're not that
they're
big.
They're not life size.
They're not life size.
Oh, man.
What? They're not real statues, though, Lou.
Like a big fucking chicken.
Yeah. Those are just men painted. Oh, no, that's Covent Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I've gone up.
As you get closer, it's squeaked.
I'm having a look. Yeah.
Suddenly, you feel a small click from the floor beneath your feet. Click. The statue's bearded face slides open like an oversized nutcracker, and greenish gas billows forth. Can you roll with Constitution saving throw, please, Bear?
Yeah. Rolled a one.
Oh.
It's a 15-foot cone, so that's going to be 5, 10, 15... Fuck it, everybody roll me a Constitution saving throw, please.
Ed, what do I do in terms of any pluses or just straight rolls for
just
me?
Give me a roll, yeah.
16.
17.
Cool. Dodd and Millicent are fine. Burr, you rolled a what?
A one.
Oh, shit.
Plus my Constitution.
Yeah.
This is plus two, so three.
Okay. Three, that's fine. You do fail.
Six.
Okay, so Burr and Scapes have both failed. You are now poisoned.
Great.
Which means that you have disadvantage. Yeah, poisoned. So that basically gives you disadvantage to attack rolls and ability checks.
That's not good. How long does that last for?
I'll tell you when it no longer is affecting you.
Okay.
That's cool in the chat. It comes up that you're poisoned.
Yeah, I've added it to my D&D Beyond sheet, and it's just done that automatically. Yeah, that's cool. It's pretty cool.
D&D Beyond, guys. D&D Beyond. What do you do now? You have the door.
Is there gas still pouring out, or
no,
is it like
kind of just sprays
like
out?
Thing?
You cough it off, and then that's it, and
it buggers off.
And is the trigger set now? Like, would it? Could I figure out if it would go again if we trod on the same spot, or is it avoidable? Or
well, roll me. Some kind of investigation check.
I'll do exactly an investigation check. I mean, it was a two on the die. Great. but my investigation is pretty high. 9.
Okay. Bloody hell. So, I mean, you can tell that obviously Burr has stood on a pressure plate as he stepped off of it. I mean, who knows? You don't know much about traps, so.
Okay. Okay. I can just try and avoid the plate, I guess, if we go that way.
If I hadn't...
I'm gonna...
Sorry. Go on.
I'm just like, hold on. This will maybe... I've got 2 second level spell slots, so I'm going to cast Lesser Restoration on both of them, which cures poison.
Hey. Yay! We love you.
So you no longer have any of those disadvantages.
That was wonderful. An expensive
That was an expensive cure, so I'm doing that while saying, like, okay, do we think...
Do we need to go any further? Yeah, I don't think we need to really look around here much more, do we?
Yeah, I think
Poke.
Yeah, let's get out.
Yeah, let's go and meet up with Pock.
You sure about that? I mean, you know that Pock's a couple of hours away. Mm-hmm. That's where he said he was going to meet you, and you made the decision that you were going to clear this out. I mean, would you really just go away and come back?
Is there? There must be something good in here.
That's what he does to you. Fucks
He's either fucking with us or he's.
I'm all right. I'm sunbathing.
I don't know. I mean, we could probably survive another fight.
Well, I think because you've set this trap off. So if anyone's around, I would say this doorway to the west, because that's where the trap is nearest. They might not have heard it.
So can I listen at that door and see if I can hear anything?
Absolutely. Roll me for perception check.
8 plus 3, 11.
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, you're still you've been cured by that thing, but yeah, you can't really. Maybe it's just bunged your ears up a little bit. Bit of tinnitus.
Right.
You don't hear anything.
Can't hear anything. Anyone else want to have a listen?
Sure. I'll go. Yeah, I'll do that. And
Scapes is next, and then Dart, then Drew.
Until we can all hear.
Okay, so
I'm definitely last.
Perception. 17. Not bad.
Lovely. Yeah, absolutely. You're like, for fuck's sake, man. Like, you're deaf. There's clearly some orcs in there. Fuck you, hell.
Okay, chatting. Are they alert? I can't understand them, but
chatting away. Yeah, you can't hear what they're saying. You can't make out how many of them there are. A couple of distinct voices, but you can't because you don't understand the language. So it's kind of hard to tell.
Well, I think if we're going to do this, we want to do it quick.
The element of surprise. Let's just barge in then.
Kick the door in.
Yeah.
Go on, Burr. I'll go in
first. I can run back out if I need to. So
you kick the door down, you burst in. This chamber is filled with rough-hewn bunks, tables and chairs, and the floor is strewn with filthy pelts. At first glance, it appears that a dozen or so humanoids might use this area as sleeping quarters. However, as you burst through the doors, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 orcs jump up and start shouting.
5, not bad.
5 orcs.
Roll initiative, I suppose. Yeah.
That's what happens now.
Oh, look at that, a natural 1.
Shit. Oh, dude, for 0. James never goes.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Stay here, mate.
Yeah.
16.
Ouch.
I'll give you this. I will give you the surprise round. So Dodd is actually up first.
Hey, right. What's his movement?
What's the same as a human, 30 foot.
Oh, yeah, go 30. You can get to that one. It's nice playing quite carefree. I don't give a shit if this guy dies or not.
Nah, it's fine.
He's going straight in, and I'm going to do a thing to that guy, whatever I've got. What have I got in my pocket?
Yeah, he's using a short sword. That's all you guys gave him.
That is a 3.
We'll give him a... with proficiency, we'll say that's a plus 5 to hit. Why not? It seems legit. But it's going to be a miss. Burr.
Yeah.
Burst through the door.
Burst.
You're probably, because you burst through, we'll put you there. But otherwise, what are you going to do?
Can I attack from here? Or is that... Well, I'm going to use my rapier. I'm going to... Well, behind Dodd, basically. Mm-hmm. But that wall, would that be in the way? So I'd be at a disadvantage.
No, because you're going to... wall and Dodd in between you. Yeah. You have to
go the other side. And okay. I would attack that orc.
Do it.
11 plus 6. That sorry. Hit. Yeah. No. 16. Yeah, yeah. So 1d8 plus piercing. 9.
9 points of damage.
Yeah, and then I get to use my sneak attack, 2d6. 4, 13, and a 6. I'm assuming he's dead.
6, then another. He's dead.
Yeah.
Yes, you know.
Boom.
Nice one. Oh, you're a rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm playing one of them at some point.
Militant.
Okay, move up.
Just took him out.
15. Crossbow to this dude. 22 to hit.
Yowza.
That will hit.
Oh, 3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. Okay, it's Droop's turn. Scapes, please do move.
Droop. Okay.
He's, well, as always, hanging at the back, but you can order him and tell him to go in there if that's what you want to do.
How much movement has he got?
Quite 30 feet.
Going to move him in. 17.
Who are you shooting at?
Yeah.
The big fucker.
This big fucker is a miss.
Yeah, yeah. It's a miss.
It's a miss.
Ah! Oh, shut the fridge.
Yeah. He's a big boy. That's not a normal orc, boys and lady. That's an orog.
I think that fucker needs to be flanked. Post haste.
Scapes. Your turn.
Scapes. I was like, what's happening? Hey? So he runs in, belated. He runs, yeah! And he's like, this is no orc! And swings his sword, his special longsword, for 23.
Oh!
Nice. Yeah, that'll hit.
Yes.
Hits for 6 damage. And then he swings with his other sword. He's like, not an orc! which is a reference to Willow, by the way, when he's like, not a woman. You know, brilliant scene, like best scene in the film. But anyway, 21. So for another six damage.
Lovely.
Amazing, dude.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Have some scapes on your toast, you bitch.
New t-shirt.
Brilliant. That's
Scapes
your...
on toast.
Scapes on toast.
Yeah. Some of that. Fried.
How'd you like that for a slice of fried scapes?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Lou. This is why we love you.
That's one of my favourite Jim Will Paint It things is the toast on toast. Dude. What's the who's the guy from EastEnders, Grant Mitchell?
I don't even know what you're talking about. That actually Ross sounds Kemp funny
on,
anyway.
He basically done Ross Kemp on toast, and it's like a picture of like his face just on some toast. It's so random.
I like that. Give him a paint. That's great.
You have to Google that and sell it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Seems so apt, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Ross Kemp on game.
All right.
So that's why, is the cunt dead or not?
No, he's not. That's your surprise round done. Dodd. You're right.
Oh, no, they're going to start hitting back.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, no, surprise. We're back to the beginning, aren't we? Or... Mm-hmm.
Surprise.
That's quick.
That's right. Good.
I nearly rolled then. I've got nothing to attack. Right. Can I go there?
If you've got enough movement for it. Oh,
flank that bitch.
Just 5, 10, there's 15, a crate 20, there.
25. Yeah, fine. Go for it.
So is it a plus 5?
Yeah, I think that's what I said. Yeah. Seems a bit generous, 22. Actually.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it is a bit. Yeah.
22 will hit. Even if it was a plus 3, then it would still be 19, which is a hit. I think we'll say it's a plus 3 because that seems a bit too much. But it's still a hit.
What am I rolling?
D6 plus his strength modifier of a plus 3. 2.
Plus 2. That's a 6 points of damage.
Nice. Boom. He's like shocked. He's like, what the fuck? I was just sat on the end of my bed.
I just sat on the end of my bed on my big orc and you burst in here and you just cut me up. What the fuck going on?
Oh, no.
Now you're flanked like a bitch.
Burr, a bolt thrower.
I suppose I'm going to go and give him a little bit of a tickle. 20.
Nah, yeah, fucking
20.
Okay, so you double... right, okay. So you use your sneak attack. because you've got allies with you. So you're going to do 8 points of damage plus six points of damage. So 8 plus 6 is 14 plus another 6 is 20. So you're doing 20 points of damage before you, and then you roll.
Okay. Whoa. So that one is a 6.
Doesn't even really matter.
He is so fucking dead. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Didn't even get to see what he was going to do.
26 worth of damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's
crazy. How did you How did you do him, Bur?
I've given up eating orc, so just gonna, you know, slowly, well, not slowly. I'll just quickly, you know, slice him. Yeah, that's it. Slice him, dice him,
slice and dice.
So, from where Slap you shot. Were in the kind of the doorway of this room, you've kind of run down, and there's a bed there. There's like this along the each of the walls of this room. There's just beds and crates and bed and crate and bed and crate. And he was on the end of the second bed. You've run down. You've jumped off of one bed over Scape's kind of head where Scape was whacking at him, and you've literally just like some kind of anime. Yeah. The screen goes black and then shatters in two, and he just falls down
into lumps,
into kind of lumps as he's cut to pieces. Yeah. Like yeah, fucking boy. Zorro. There are still three orcs in this room shouting to move at you, but yep, we'll find out what they do next week. Because I need to go for a piss.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, man. Time for a motherfucking piss.
Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in or downloading the podcast and listening. Please do, you know, review and all that stuff. Speaking of reviews, I can't remember how many I read out last week, so I apologise, but I'm going to read out some more, and I do apologise if I accidentally read one that I've already read out, but, you know, this is what happens when you don't really prepare for what it is that you're doing. So I think I read out the one by YJFCBHD last week, which says, great listen. We're going to start off with somebody who's just called themselves Dungeons & Dragons. And they say, great indie D&D podcast, a great D&D podcast, well worth subscribing to. And Billowing Mike says, great fun, get straight into the action. Great GM, cheers, Mike. Good atmosphere, recommended. If you review us, we'll read it out. We'll say thank you to you, you know. So, you know, like I said before as well, if you just want to cheekily advertise yourself, I can do it. Why not? I'll go read it out because I'm a whore. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. We'll see you soon, guys. Have a good night.
No.
Or day.
Yeah.
If it's or morning. Whatever the time of day
have
is.
Have a good.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find them on Twitter at Sorco Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at LewisSWGell. And thank you to our very own James Bly for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons & Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.
Danger, mystery, intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vanzafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song.
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits through Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.